Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast, gathering evidence from the literature. I'm Mike Pratz, and with me today, Dr. Cray Bolger, and today we're going to be discussing a paper titled Stone Plus, Evaluation of Emergency Department Patients with Suspected Renal Colic Using a Clinical Prediction Tool Combined with Point-of-Care Limited Ultrasonography. This was out of the Annals of Emergency Medicine and published April 2016. So I want to give a little bit of background here. The Stone Score is a clinical decision tool that was designed to determine a patient's risk for a kind of a symptomatic kidney stone or ureteral stone. It's an acronym, stands for sex, timing, origin, nausea, erythrocytes, and it uses those 5 points to give a patient a score, placing them either in low risk for having a kidney stone, moderate risk, or high risk based on some of those symptoms. So that has been a prior study which showed that if you put a patient in one of those groups, it gives you a good idea of the likelihood that they will have a symptomatic stone on their CT. So what we're going to do today, the question this study addresses is if you do that score and then you also do a renal ultrasound and you find hydronephrosis, does that change how well this can pick up a symptomatic stone? And can it also further identify people that need an intervention, which I think is a good question to be asking. So, Craig, can you walk us through this study and how they did it?
Yeah, so I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Yale, but it's a pretty big academic center on the East Coast, fairly well known for their ultrasound training. So even though the participants in this study got no extra training, I have a feeling this is kind of part of their normal peas and carrots that they get fed during residency and their daily life in the emergency department. So this was a study that looked at everybody getting CT scans to evaluate for essentially a stone. So anybody with flank pain, abdominal pain, where renal colic was suspected. And they are super lucky being the powerhouse that they are. They had 24/7 research assistants who essentially got paged when this CAT scan was ordered automatically by their EMR system. And what they did is they came down and evaluated the patients. A point-of-care ultrasound could or would be done by the physician, resident, or mid-level provider seeing the patient and interpreted at the bedside. Their interpretation was given to the research assistant, and then they got their CT scan. And so then they kind of followed up and kind of risk stratified these people between their stone score, no hydro, mild hydro, moderate to severe hydro, and tried to kind of make an algorithm on when should a CT be ordered and will a CT change things.
Right. So just to specify the type of scan that they were doing, they used a curvilinear probe. They collected ultrasound clips, not still images, and from that they determined if there was no hydro, mild, moderate, or severe. They also had a place where they could note if they saw renal stones, and they state in the paper that ureteral jets were noted but not necessarily required as part of the scan. Cray, with that, who got this? Was it anybody that had a CT?
So it was prospective. It wasn't blinded. Anybody who had a CAT scan and suspected renal colic were included. Adult patients only, obviously. And so what they wanted to see is if symptomatic stones, if the CT was helpful. So they looked to see if there were any alternate findings that would explain the symptoms, if they found stones or evidence of a recently passed stone, which could be hydronephrosis, hydroureter, any other findings kind of that were noted by radiology. They also looked to see if there was anything else that would cause the pain or anything that required intervention. And then the secondary outcomes they kind of looked at were who required urologic intervention. And it wasn't necessarily during that ED visit. So, you know, those stones that we say, why don't you get a trial going home? come back in 24 hours, or if your pain increases, you get fever, vomiting, etc. Those patients were also included in the study. So they did a 90-day follow-up, which I think is really impressive.
Yeah, that's great. That's very helpful to us. So in the end, they had about 835 patients that they could analyze. Some of these patients in there that were initially able to be included in the trial ended up being excluded either because they refused to consent, or there was no renal ultrasound that was done, or they're lost to follow-up. The amount of stones they saw, 53% of that 835 patients ended up with the diagnosis of renal colic based on having a stone on the CT that was thought to cause their pain. 6.5%, which is 54 patients, had an important alternate finding, which we can discuss that a little bit later. So overall, the ultrasound ended up being 65% sensitive, 75% specific for a stone. And then if you look at moderate or greater amounts of hydro, you drop your sensitivity to 44%, but specificity goes to 93%.
Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting, Mike. 40% of these patients had no significant findings on the CAT scan. That's a lot of wasted radiation. And if you live up the mantra, every time you do a CAT scan, a puppy dies. There's a lot of dead puppies at the end of the day.
That's so true. And we hate to see those puppies die.
Yes.
So there's a lot of other great results that came out of this. So Craig, can you talk about some of the other stuff they found?
Yeah, so they looked at kind of the sensitivity and specificity of the stone score plus, hence the stone plus right. title, the stone score plus the ultrasound. And so if you add in the stone score with the hydronephrosis, your sensitivity increases significantly. So a moderate to low stone score plus hydro increased sensitivity from 3.2% of finding a stone to 64%. And specificity from 41% to 60%. So the combination of the two, which essentially is risk factors, clinical gestalt, and an ultrasound, now gets you up to fairly decent numbers. Not as good as some of our other point-of-care studies, but definitely respectable. If you had moderate or greater hydro, so severe hydro where that kidney's totally blown out, plus a moderate to low stone score, your specificity went from 67% up to 98%. So really impressive. And your sensitivity and for low and for moderate probability, 42% to 92%. So pretty significant increases. And those are those patients that maybe you weren't going to do anything before based on their stone score, but then you do the ultrasound on top of it, and now things have changed. So maybe that change is getting a CAT scan in somebody you wouldn't have otherwise, but pretty significant. And the reason why that's significant is patients with hydro had a much higher risk of or rate of requiring intervention. And I think that's an important point. So maybe no hydro doesn't change what you're going to do for the patient, but finding hydro may change when who you're getting involved in when and how you're counseling the patient. Their odds ratio, if you had hydronephrosis for requiring intervention, was 3.5%. And that was for moderate to greater hydro. Any hydronephrosis at all had a 2.7 odds ratio of requiring intervention. And only 10% of the patients without any hydronephrosis at all needed intervention. So I think those are pretty impressive numbers. No hydro, probably safe to go home. Hydro, probably need to consider doing some other testing or at least getting your consultants involved.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of numbers in this study that it's kind of hard to keep track of. But the basics of it are if you had a low suspicion based on a stone score to begin with, then the ultrasound had the potential to really change what you thought significantly. Whereas if you had a high stone score to start, adding an ultrasound didn't actually change anything. So that's what they found, that in the cohort that had a high stone score, there was really no benefit to the sensitivity or specificity when they applied the renal ultrasound. Whereas the low and the moderate, there was a change.
Yep. I think it's also interesting that the patients with hydronephrosis had often stones greater than 5 millimeters. And as we know, those are the stones less likely to pass on their own. So I think by finding hydronephrosis, you may be a little bit more aggressive with those patients and maybe be less likely to send them home.
Right. And another way to look at this data that I think is interesting is looking at the likelihood ratios. They provide a great list of all the data with the likelihood ratios for stone. And when you look at it, going down the column, the likelihood ratios are mostly on the small side. If we're considering that we want it to be above 10 to be kind of a significant impact, there's only actually two things that have a likelihood ratio above 10, and that was for the patients that had low stone scores that ended up having moderate or greater hydronephrosis on their ultrasound. That was significant for both now it looks like they have a stone and also that they may require an intervention for that stone.
So kind of putting it all together, the authors made a pretty beautiful algorithm using a combination of stone score, what level of hydronephrosis you saw, and then kind of mapping out what your next step should be. So patients with low stone scores and no hydro were fairly unlikely to have a stone, so do a workup for alternative diagnoses in that patient. Low stone scores and hydro are more likely to get a CT scan and probably find a stone. Moderate stone scores and severe hydro and high stone scores and severe hydro probably can get a passage trial, essentially. However, with strict return precautions. By doing this and following their algorithm, they're saying we can save probably 34% of the CTs we do for renal colic and only having maybe a 1% misdiagnosis rate.
I mean, that's an impressive thing, but let's talk about the missed diagnosis, because I think, again, that is what oftentimes will make the administrators or the consultants hesitant.
Or the lawyers.
Or the lawyers. Right? No, the lawyers would actually appreciate that, I think. But everybody else would be a little bit worried about what you're going to miss. So I think that's valuable to examine in this paper. And they showed that you did miss 6.5% of the patients with alternate findings. And when you look through the list, because they list out all of them, there's some interesting things there. People that had pyelo, I think that's understandable. People that had appendicitis, that was one that caught my attention, because out of the five cases that had appendicitis, three of those had hydronephrosis and did not end up having any ureteral stone. So that's a little bit worrisome.
Yeah, I really like left-sided kidney stones.
Yeah,
not such too. A fan of the right-sided
exactly.
ones.
Exactly, I totally agree. But the main culprit there was pyelo or UTI. That was 25% of their alternate diagnosis. And the other ones, whether it be like cholecystitis or appendicitis, diverticulitis, those ones were less common, but still you got to be on the lookout. Any limitations that you can think of for this study, Cray?
Well, as we kind of mentioned before, Yale is not your average hospital necessarily. This may not necessarily apply if you don't have good training, though I have to say of all scans to learn, renal's fairly easy. A lot of us are very comfortable with the FAST exam, and it's just kind of changing your focus when you're doing essentially the same windows. So I think with minimal training, renal ultrasound can probably be used, and it'd be interesting to see this play out in that kind of population of users. That being said, they did take all comers. They didn't give special training for these sonographers in this case. It was prospective. There was no blinding, however, so they could see the patient. They could see their lab results. They could see their urine results, which was a necessary part of using the stone score. However, I think that already kind of gives you some momentum bias going into your scan. It'd be interesting to see if the sonographers or sonologists were blinded to the patient's data, if this would play out. You know, I think you see a lot of red blood cells, you've examined right. The patient, taken a history, I might be squinting to try to find some hydro.
Yeah, that mild hydro is sometimes
an elusive kind of beast.
It's kind of just your call if you want it to be or not. There were some patients that got only an ultrasound and did not get the CT, therefore they were not included in this study. So that's an important point too. If there were people doing renal ultrasounds and they already felt comfortable either discharging or admitting the patient without doing further diagnosis, we don't have that data included in this set right now.
If you tell me you've had a stone before and I look and don't see hydro and you've got blood in your urine, I'm probably going to give you a trial of passage just by exclusion if you've had normal renal anatomy confirmed by CT and previously CT confirmed stones. I don't like to make my patients glow in the dark.
So let me just give the take-home points for this paper, because there was a lot of results. So if you had a low or moderate stone score going into it, then having hydro on ultrasound did increase your chance of having the final diagnosis of a stone. If you had higher stone score to begin with, did not really help you to get an ultrasound in addition. Having hydro does mean that you're more likely to get an intervention for the stone with an odds ratio of 3.5 for moderate or severe hydro. For the rest of it, with regard to the other types of stone scores and other types of hydro, just remember most of that data did have rather low likelihood ratios, so may not be as important. Finally, do not forget that you can still miss very important diagnoses, life-threatening things that may still present with hydronephrosis. So I think that was an important message for me from this paper. As always, we thank the authors for contributing this, and I thank you, the listener, for tuning in. Talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel,
more ultrasound gel podcast.